And so we encourage you, as was already mentioned, there's a book that we want every family to grab as a gift. We want to encourage you to utilize that, the 31 Days of Prayer. The book is written by a couple that worked with the Navigators. I've never had bad experience with any resources I've ever used with the Navigators, and encourage you to take one of those, and we're going to talk more about that, but take one of those on your way out today. But, you know, as we think about the issue of prayer and the need to grow in prayer on a personal level in our own walk with the Lord as well as in the life of the church, and as I was preparing originally today, this was supposed to be a 1 or 2 week emphasis, and as I started working and preparing for today, I realized that we need at least a month, if not more. So we're going to be over the next month or so focusing on prayer, and then we're going to transition to the issue of worship. And I'm not going to put a time frame on it. As much as I like preaching in series, I also, on the issue of prayer and worship, feel like we need to take the time to just take whatever time is needed as we walk through these things. And so I encourage you, though, to be reflecting in your own life on this issue of prayer. The reality is prayer is vital for Christian living. We can't live the Christian life well apart from developing a prayer life. And often when we struggle in our Christian walk, it's because we're struggling in our prayer life. The two things go hand in hand. We also, the reality is for any ministry, church ministry, or any other ministry that we might be partnering with or supporting, prayer is a vital work. In the Alliance, we actually say that prayer is our first work. It's one of our core values. And that needs to be more than just something we put on a page and saying this is our value. We need to be reflecting and say, are we really living that out in our lives? And so our hope as we work through this series and as we tackle this issue of prayer, I would hope that we can all be honest enough to say, look at our own lives and say, where are we at in our prayer life? But also in the life of the church, where are we in, when it comes to developing prayer and having prayer, intercessory prayer that covers everything that we do in the life of our church? You know, when we talk about prayer, though, as I've worked with people over the years and looking at my own life and my own walk with the Lord, as well as working with people over 20-some years in ministry, most people struggle in developing a prayer life. It doesn't come naturally for a lot of people. It is something that takes time. It takes an investment. And there's a real struggle, I think, that comes with prayer. And so often, I mean, when I think about those struggles, sometimes people struggle with making time to pray, taking the time to pray, making it a priority. Often you open up that time, you sit down, you're ready to pray, and you have no idea where to begin. Or you get into a rut, and to where you feel like you're just kind of throwing up the same prayer, and there doesn't seem to be real life and a real communion and deep sense of God's presence in those moments. And so as we think of this issue, we want to be honest about the struggles. But as we look at the text today, we're going to be mainly looking at Luke 11, verses 1 through 4. And then we're going to be referencing going back to Matthew's account of the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6, 9. But what's interesting is the disciples, I mean, I was trying to think through and looking at were there any other specific requests that they had of Jesus to be taught? The only one I can think of is they looked at Jesus and said, Jesus, teach us to pray. And so it was something that the disciples saw was important. The disciples saw it was being modeled in Jesus' life, and so they asked, Jesus, teach us to pray. And that's going to be our theme through this series. Is today we're going to be starting just reflecting on the Lord's Prayer, just the first part of the Lord's Prayer today. But throughout this entire series, our theme is to teach us to pray. We want God to walk with us and to guide us to grow in our prayer life, both on a personal level and a corporate level as a church. We want to grow in our experience of prayer. I want to start today by watching a video, and some of you have gone through. I know we've taught the Core Values series that John Soper did a few years ago. One of the best resources I think the Alliance has put out in many years. But John shares a story of a man named E.D. Whiteside, and it's a name I'm very familiar with because E.D. Whiteside, he was known as the praying man of Pittsburgh, or Daddy Whiteside. Most of the Alliance churches in the Pittsburgh area, the longtime Alliance churches in the Pittsburgh area, including the one where I pastored for 15 and a half years, were churches that were planted either directly by E.D. Whiteside or one of his boys, preacher boys, that he sent out to start churches. And so I've always felt a connection there because I began in full-time ministry at one of E.D. Whiteside's churches. But one of those nicknames that he had was that he was the praying man of Pittsburgh. And so we're going to watch a clip. This is from the Core Values series. It's John Soper telling the story. But I think one of the things that I have learned when I want to grow in prayer or grow in any other area of our life, it's good to look at those who have demonstrated well what it is we're trying to learn. And E.D. Whiteside did that, and we're going to end today talking about some people that I've had the privilege, and you've had the privilege of knowing, that also demonstrated that. We want to look at those who model prayer well because we can learn from them. So I just want to encourage you to watch this clip and to hear a little bit about E.D. Whiteside and the importance of prayer in his ministry.
If you're anything like me, you learn a lot from other people. That's why telling you the stories of these great men and women of faith is so meaningful to me. Are you ready to meet another real-life hero? His name was E.D. Whiteside, and he was the founding pastor of Allegheny Center, a thriving church on the north side of the great city of Pittsburgh. He was truly a remarkable man. He was an amazing evangelist who started his pastoral work by running a rescue mission in his adopted city, and who never tired of scouring the grimy streets and jails of the Steel City in search of one more man or woman who needed a savior. He was an incredible pastor to hundreds of people who he taught to love and to live like Jesus. Scores of those people actually came to live with Daddy Whiteside and his incredible wife Annie. They actually became his family. He was a strategist, an apostle to that part of Pennsylvania where he lived. He trained and deployed a small army of men and women to blanket the whole region with new Alliance branches. Even today, there are more CMA churches in western Pennsylvania than in any other area of our country. And many of these can trace their origins directly back to Daddy Whiteside or one of his disciples. But the thing that he was most known for is reflected in the nickname by which he came to be known. They called him the Praying Man of Pittsburgh. The stories about the power and vitality of this man's prayer are legion. His characteristic response whenever anyone came to him with a problem was, "Well now, let's take that to the Father." Let me tell you just one story about his prayer life. At one point in his ministry, Whiteside and his wife purchased a home in a strategic area. The idea was that they would live in the home but build an addition off the front of the house to serve as a chapel for a new church. The plans for the addition were drawn and the architect was paid $100. But a neighbor objected, saying that the new addition would block the view from his home. Characteristically, Whiteside took the problem to the Father. As he prayed on his knees in an upstairs room, he felt God telling him to go downstairs. He went down the stairs. Then God said, "Go outside." He went outside. "Turn left. Walk down this street." Whiteside walked for several blocks. Then he felt the voice within him say, "Turn here." He did, and was confronted with a newly constructed meeting hall and a sign that said, "For rent." And for $60 a month, God provided a place for the new church to begin. E.D. Whiteside understood and lived core value number 2, which says prayer is the primary work of the people of God. Let me introduce you to Fred Hartley. Just like Whiteside, that early Alliance pioneer, Fred understands the importance and the power of prayer.
Here, Fred Hartley, you got to be here in 2 weeks. So, you know, that I love the story of Whiteside's life, and I love that phrase when people would bring issues. That his common phrase and his common response was, "Let's take that to the Father." And while we're starting the series on Teach Us to Pray, today I want us to focus on that issue of going to the Father. Really, that's what we're doing. When we're taking time personally to pray, when we gather in prayer groups in the life of our church, we're gathering before our Heavenly Father to connect in intimacy and in friendship and relationship with Him, to connect with His kingdom, and to bring our cares and concerns and lay our lives at His feet so that He can use us. Prayer at His heart is spending time with the Father. And so today we're going to be looking at that first step as we even reflect on the Lord's Prayer of what that really means to spend time with our Heavenly Father, our Father who is in heaven. Before we dive into the scriptures, though, I just want to ask you some questions, and I think I have these questions on the slides. You don't have to answer this out loud, but in your own heart, your own life, ask yourself, how much time do you spend with the Father in prayer? Do you have an intentional time and place set aside for prayer? That word intentionality, when it comes to developing any trait, any skill, is so critical. But on the issue of prayer, if it's not intentional, it won't happen. So are you intentional? Is there an intentional time and place that you set aside? And is your prayer life growing, plateaued, stagnant? Wherever you're at, I hope that you would come to that place and request, like the disciples did in Luke 11:1, that you would come to God in this, not only today, but in this season, and be praying this daily. As you set aside time in the coming days and weeks, that you would make it a commitment to not only set aside the time, but to pray and to ask God to teach you to pray. It's both the intentionality of setting aside the time, but then having an open heart and asking God, the God who desires to give good gifts to His children, to ask Him to teach you. Luke 11:1 says, "Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when He finished, one of His disciples said to Him, 'Lord, teach us to pray as John taught His disciples.'" The reality is, in the disciples asking that question, is we know that there are two very clear things that stand out from that. One, the disciples saw their need. They knew they needed Jesus to teach them how to pray. They knew they needed His instruction. But they also, not only did they see their need, they also looked at Jesus' life and they saw an example of someone who prioritized prayer. Jesus is said throughout the Gospels, we see the account in Luke 5:16 is one of them. It says that He would withdraw to isolated places to pray. Luke 5:16 says, "But He would withdraw to desolate places and pray." A place to be alone. There was solitude. It was an intentionality of always having something else He could have done in ministry. That's the thing that always amazed me, was the crowds could be pressing Him, and yet there were times where He would step away to commune with His Heavenly Father. As I reflect on Jesus and His example and the disciples' desire to not only be taught, but to look at Jesus and say, if Jesus spends time with His Father, we need to learn. We need to follow in Jesus' example to learn how to pray. If prayer was a priority to Jesus, it needs to be a priority in our lives. I mean, think about it. How often is our neglect of developing a prayer life really evidencing that we think we don't need to pray? That we got this on our own? That we can face the day? That we can face the day, we can face whatever it is on our own strength, our own resources, rather than going to the Lord in prayer and saying, "Lord, I know I can't get through the day without You." In ministry, or are we tackling ministry and doing ministry, the work of ministry, apart from prayer? If we are, we're relying more on our own strength than in relying on God's strength and His resources. If Jesus needed to take time to be in communion with His Heavenly Father, we need to do that. Jesus actually described in John 5:19 when he was describing everything that he did. He says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise." Jesus' whole ministry and everything flowed out of his communion with the Father. And in our lives, when we reflect on our lives and our prayer life, we need to remember Jesus not only teaches us to pray, but he gives us the example of someone who prioritized prayer in his life. So with that in mind, I just want to ask you, are you ready to take steps to learn to pray? I mean, first, before I even ask that, if you're here today and you know you can grow in your prayer life, raise your hand. Yeah, if you think you should have just raised your hand, raise your hand. But every one of us, there's always room for growth in our prayer life. And I firmly believe that we get into ruts where we get into the busyness. We can be busy about doing good things and squeeze out that first work, that most vital work of communion with our Heavenly Father and being in communion with Him, relying on Him and His resources in our life. So the question, if we recognize we have need to grow, are you willing to take steps to learn to pray? Are you willing to invest some time? You know, last week ago Saturday, Katie passed her driver's permit test. So you can add me to that to your prayer list. But she's off to a really good start. But you know, there's a lot in the book they give you when you pass that. There's a log, and they basically said you can fill out the log or you don't have to fill out the log. They just want to know, I'm going to have to sign off that she did so many hours of driving. But that idea of logging 60 hours of drive time before she would be qualified to pass the test is just evidence of just that principle that we don't grow in anything without logging the time. We don't grow in anything without investing in whatever it is that we're trying to learn, whatever it is that we're trying to do. You know, as I think back to the people in my life that we've given the name Prayer Warrior, and some of you in this room that I'm looking at, I'm not going to pick on you, but I think you're there. There are people I know, if people in this church have a need, there are some of you that you know who you are. You're the ones getting the phone calls. But as I think back to this church and I think back to my previous church, two names that kept coming to my mind as I think about prayer warriors was Marion Durr, who was my secretary in McKeesport for, not my secretary for 30 years, but she had been the secretary in McKeesport for 30 years, matriarch of the church. Just definitely, she, beyond anyone else I have ever known, she wore that mantle of prayer warrior. She spent time regularly in God's presence. In recent years here with Rose Confer, and I don't know how many times, I talked to at least four or five people in the week of Rose's passing that said, what are we going to do without Rose's prayer? Rose was so faithful. And just bringing, if you had a need, she not only prayed with you, but she would call and ask, how is this going? She was faithful. And some of you have other examples, Rose, Marion, and others that have demonstrated a faithful prayer life. None of those individuals arrived at a place of having an effective prayer life overnight. They logged the time. They invested the time in prayer. And just like you can't learn to drive by just reading a book, you have to get behind the wheel and actually drive. If we want to grow in our prayer life, we need to get behind the wheel and drive. We need to actually take the time to set aside the time to just draw into God's presence to be with Him. Over the next month or so, as a leadership team, we want to encourage every one of us to be not only cultivating our prayer life personally, but we're being intentional about this in the life of our church. And we've planned a number of things, and not only will the messages be addressing the issue of prayer and helping us as we try to learn how to more effectively pray, the book that's in the back, the 31 Days of Prayer, just an explanation, there's a short prayer, like a guide, a written prayer that you can pray and read along with it. But there's some great resources. There'll be times where it'll highlight something and it'll point you to the back of the book where there's some additional resources to help teach you about prayer life. We're going to be developing two or more prayer groups. We're going to continue to have a prayer group on Wednesday nights. There's most likely going to be on Tuesdays at noon here with the staff and anyone else that wants to join us. We have at least those two times planned, a Wednesday night and a Tuesdays at noon time that is open to anyone. But it's not going to be a Bible study. It's not going to be a chit-chat time. It's going to be a time to come to gather before our Heavenly Father in prayer and to focus in those times in prayer. And we are looking for more of those groups. So if you're interested in either helping with those two groups, Wednesday night or Tuesday at noon, or if there's a time and a place that you'd like to start a regular weekly prayer focus, we're looking at 30 to 45 minutes of intentional focused prayer. If you're interested in being a part of that, talk to me, because we want to be launching those in the next couple weeks. We're also coming alongside of all of our life impact groups and our Sunday school classes where prayer is already happening. Prayer is happening in our homes and our groups. But we want to resource each of these groups and encourage prayer to continue to be a central part of that work as well. You know, as we do this today, we're going to focus as we start this journey of letting God teach us to pray. Today we're going to focus on the issue of drawing into the Father's presence, to come into the presence of our Heavenly Father and having time with our Father. And so with that in mind, let's look to Luke 11, verses 1 through 4, and then we're going to jump over to Matthew 6, 9. Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." And he said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation.'" What you see in these verses is, obviously, if you're reading this, it's like, isn't something missing? If you have the Lord's Prayer memorized, you realize this is not the full, the text of what we would quote in the Lord's Prayer. The full text is we see in Matthew 6, verses 9 through 13. What we see is this would have been something Jesus would have taught on multiple times, on multiple occasions. And so here he's giving an abbreviated lesson on prayer, and in Matthew 6, in the Sermon on the Mount, he's going in depth in teaching about prayer. And what we're going to do over the next few weeks, our first text that we're going to look at in learning how to pray, is just reflecting on the principles we see in the Lord's Prayer. So we're going to start with Matthew 6, 9. Matthew 6, 9 says, "Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." That's it for today. That's the only verse we're going to look at the rest of the morning. I may quote a few others, but as we think about time with our Father, this verse is so critical because it paints a picture of having the right perspective and how we approach God in prayer. Because you have a theme of intimacy in that we're approaching our Heavenly Father. And we'll explain that in a moment. But we also see this picture of a transcendent God who is above all of his creation. And he's also the God who is set apart and hallowed, deserving of all honor and all respect. There's a good balance in this first verse, in this first part of the Lord's Prayer, of both relationship and intimacy with God, as well as a reverence for God in understanding who it is that we approach. And with that in mind, let's just walk through it. The first phrase, "Our Father." Now, the Greek here would have been pater, which most commentaries, though, believe that Jesus, when he would have taught this, would have actually used the Aramaic word, because that was his common tongue, and what he would have shared, and he would have used the word Abba, which is basically what we would use, a term that we would use as daddy. In addressing our Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Abba, our Heavenly Dad, this is something that would have ruffled feathers a bit for those that would have heard Jesus, because he used such an intimate term to describe his walk and his relationship with God, the Father. And it gives us a picture of what we're being invited into. When we go to the Lord in prayer, we're being invited into an intimate friendship, an intimate relationship with our Creator. Creator who's chosen to reveal Himself as our Heavenly Dad, our Abba, Father. Now, anytime I speak on this issue, I always feel like I need to pause and say, if you're here today and you had a great example of a father and the idea of and understanding God as your Heavenly Father just facilitates good things for you, that is awesome. But I realize that's not the case for a lot of people. If you're here today and the idea of picturing God as your father is a struggle because you didn't have the best earthly father, I just want to, without getting too deep into this, I just need to tell you that in any way your earthly father failed you, God will not fail you. He's your perfect Heavenly Father. And in all the things that you were lacking, He wants to perfectly meet in your life. And part of our growth and our walk with God is not only understanding His love for us and His desire for us to come to Him as our perfect Heavenly Father, but that we become more settled in that and we become more aware of God's love for us and His care and His concern. The invitation to address our God, our Creator, as our Father, our Abba, is an invitation to intimacy, an invitation to just sitting and being with our God, our Creator. It reflects Jesus' words and how He described eternal life in John 17:3. He says, "Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." We're invited in the same way that the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are intricately connected and demonstrate relationship. We're invited into that level of intimacy with God. And prayer is the key for us experiencing that intimacy on a day-to-day basis. But we have to be willing to set aside that time and quiet ourselves before the Father. And before we move on, I want you to think about that idea of the Father's heart. And this is where I'm going to put my dad hat on for a second. When I think of Bryce and Katie, and any of you here that have kids, you'll identify with this. I want to give my kids good things. Sometimes they might disagree with what those good things are and what they want or what they don't want or need. But a father's heart is to give good gifts. And we're going to look at that text later in Luke 11 in the coming weeks. But as a father, I want to bless my kids. I want to give them good things. I want to bless them. But beyond anything else, I want a relationship with my kids. I want a friendship with my kids. I want there to be a level of intimacy with my kids that they come to me to where it's not just coming for something else that they want or need, but they just want to come and be with us. I'm realizing as Bryce is now out of the nest and Katie's making very aggressive plans to be out of the nest soon, as I think about that truth, I'm more and more aware of the fact as a father, there's no greater joy than just knowing that I can have time with my kids. And that's how our Heavenly Father looks to us. He wants us to bring our cares and concerns, but He also wants us to just sit before Him and to enjoy His presence, to be in relationship with Him. Again, we looked at this verse, we see it's not only a balance of intimacy, but also an issue of reverence. He reveals Himself here as our Father in heaven. And that phrase in heaven, you might just read right through it, but it's important for us to pause for a second and remind ourselves that this is picturing or giving us a picture of God being transcendent above His creation. Everything we experience in life, you can divide between God and all that He has created. He is above His creation, and being above His creation also means that He is sovereign and rules over His creation. Now that sounds like just a theological lesson, but let's think about the practical nature of that. If we know that we're not only approaching our Heavenly Dad, who desires relationship with us, but he also is our Heavenly Father who is in heaven. He is sovereign above all things. Do you think he's sovereign over the problems that you want to bring him? Our circumstances? If you saw me stumbling around with musicians there, I'm still newer. That song, one song we did, still new to me. But I love the line of that, the bridge said, I will call upon your name. You're above my circumstances. All my life is in your hands. Knowing that we're not only addressing our Heavenly Father, one who desires friendship, but he is also our Heavenly Father in heaven, our Father in heaven, who is above all things. He's sovereign over all things. He's in control of all things. That gives us the confidence to bring our needs before him. Going back to what we looked at a couple weeks ago in Philippians, that because if God is above all things, he's bigger than our circumstances, we can take the promise of Philippians 4:6-7 and not to be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I mean, think about that incredible gift. When we're facing difficulties, when we're facing challenges, we can approach our Father in heaven. We can approach the one who is above all of his creation, the one who rules over and is sovereign over all things. We can bring our concerns to him. It's the heart of the old song that many of you learned as kids, that he's got the whole world in his hands. He's got you and me, brother, or you and me, sister, in his hands. When we go to him in prayer and realize that he's not only invited us to relationship, but that he is the God in heaven, he is the one who is above all of our circumstances, and he is able to meet our need. The last part of this verse 9 says that we're not only addressing, Jesus says, pray then like this, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Hallowed is the idea of holy or being set apart. And literally he's asking here to ask God to cause people to honor his name. In honoring his name, to honor God himself. It's bringing us to a place of understanding in our prayer that our desires that God would be treated with the utmost, highest honor and be set apart as holy and other. On a practical level, what that means is that we need to pause sometimes and just think about who we're addressing. Francis Chan always does a great job of communicating this truth, that God desires the relationship, but you're still approaching the God of the universe. And that should bring some level of respect and reverence to realize it is an incredible privilege that we can come before God. As much as he wants us to come before him, it's an incredible privilege to know that we can come and stand before the God of the universe who is holy, set apart. The best illustration I can think of that for what that means for us on a practical level is, imagine if you were hosting someone, an important guest. I'll let you pick who the guest is. Maybe a famous celebrity, someone that you're impressed with, or a politician, president, governor, whoever it might be. You're expecting a guest from an important visitor. You're going to clean up the house? Yeah, you're going to invite them in. When they're sitting in your living room, how would you treat them? Would you ignore them? Would you focus only on yourself and your stories, or would you let them talk? Would you find ways to seek to honor your guest while they're there? When we pray, we need to remember as we set aside time in the coming days and the weeks and we try to increase our time with our Heavenly Father, we need to remember who it is that we're addressing. and know and have that balance of understanding we're pursuing a God who desires intimate relationship with us, but he's also the God who's above all things, a God in heaven who is above all things, sovereign over all things, and he is holy and deserving of all honor and all respect. When we do that, we grow in just being in his presence. I know I've shared it multiple times, but it's still one of my favorite illustrations from the Narnia series. But that whole idea of Aslan, the great lion who represents Christ, is he, when he's asked, there's two or three places through the stories that they ask the question, is he safe? And the question is, you know, the response is, no, he's not safe, but he's good. Having respect and reverence for God and understanding we're approaching the God of the universe is not contrary to the idea of a God who loves us and is inviting us to an intimate friendship and relationship. But as we approach him, we need to be committed in the coming weeks to just set aside some time. The book that we're providing probably would take you an extra 10 minutes to walk through as part of your prayer time. But I encourage you to take a step. Make some commitment in the coming days and weeks to say, I want to learn to pray. I'm going to ask God to teach me to pray. But I'm also going to invest the time to just be with him. You know, a moment ago, I mentioned Rose Confer and Marion Durr, two women that I looked up to in their prayer life. And I shared that, I mean, we know that they didn't develop that prayer life overnight. They logged the hours. They put the time into it. What was interesting is when I went down to McKeesport to do Marion's memorial service, as well as the two or three conversations I had in the week leading up to Rose's service, there was a similar question asked in both places. Who's going to take her place? Because, I mean, and what was coming from that was the people that were asking this was they've experienced the blessing and the benefit of knowing, hey, Rose was praying for me. Marion was praying for me. And we know that they were investing the time and the hours and just going to the Lord in prayer. And that question of, well, who is going to take their place? That's a question we all have to ask ourselves and say, are we willing to prioritize time in our life and the life of our church to make sure that we're spending time with our Heavenly Father? Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for the examples you've given us. Jesus, not only did you demonstrate the importance of prayer and Lord, sometimes leaving the busyness of ministry and the crowds and going and finding an isolated place. But Lord, we thank you for the Roses and the Marians and others, Lord, who demonstrated to us the importance of prayer. Lord, I just pray that today and in the coming days and weeks that you would just show us the steps that we can take personally and as a church to grow in our prayer lives. Lord, may we come to a place that would be reflected in our prayer that we would not depend upon our own strength, our own resources, but that we would just be surrendered to you. And fully dependent upon you and your power to be working in us. Lord, we need you. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.